listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We continue our Set Apart to Serve conversation today, talking about church worker wellness, and we're going to head to Concordia University, Nebraska. Thanks to Concordia University, Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Dr. Thaddeus Warren. He's the chair of the Department of Human and Social Sciences. He's also the DCE Program Director, that's Director of Christian Education Program Director, at Concordia University, Nebraska. Dr. Warren, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Well, thank you.
It's been a little while since we got to chat and sit down and have a conversation about church workers and about today. I want to talk about worker wellness, church worker wellness. Now, Concordia University, Nebraska leadership chose you to be involved with a recent worker wellness effort and meetings here at the LCMS International Center and other LCMS institutions. Tell us about your personal interest in worker well-being. How did you get nominated for that conversation?
The short straw, I think. No, actually, it's been something that's been on my heart since I've been involved in higher education in training DCEs and other church workers, teachers, and the like. And so, you know, having served in the parish, we know that it's, you know, the parish oftentimes is filled with sinners and saints. And as a result, there's often challenges in our lives that get presented. And so, you know, having experienced some of those and then placing people in congregations and in schools for a number of years, you start to see some of the challenges that are in church work and obviously some of the wellness issues that present themselves. So as far as Concordia goes, I serve as the program director for DCEs, and we meet regularly, and it was an opportunity and something that I've always had passion for. So I think it was mutual.
What are some ways that you've seen worker wellness in the places that you've served, ways that you've been cared for as a church worker?
Yeah, I think, you know, it varies. Some congregations are really good at coming around their church workers, and others oftentimes just more than anything probably don't know how they can help and serve, especially church workers. It can be a little bit lonely when you're the provider of caring for individuals. And so oftentimes there's just an awkwardness of that is what I've seen. And so one of the ways that probably is the best way you can help workers is just to talk to them. You know, ask them, you know, partner with them, engage in them in their personal lives so you can see where they're at. That's probably one of the most helpful tools that we have available, that we really are community together and the body of Christ together. So
let's talk about some of the church work programs available at Concordia University, Nebraska. I know that you obviously are very familiar with the Director of Christian Education Program, but there are a number of church work programs at Concordia University, Nebraska. Help us learn more about those.
Yeah, so we have a plethora of programs, and I think that's one of our strengths here is that we are able to truly work together and present what it looked like out in the church and team ministry. And so we have pre-professional programs here of pre-seminary preparation and then pre-deaconess preparation. Both of those typically will do a four-year degree and then go on to seminary for further training. And then the professional programs that we have here, where students will graduate and then be certified for work in the church, go directly into a cult, our Lutheran teacher students, our DCE students, our DPM, which is Director of Parish Music. And then we also have a master's program in family life ministry that we have just re-engaged. So those are all professional programs that we training for.
What makes Concordia University, Nebraska a unique place among other Concordias for the variety of church work programs that you've just described?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure how unique it is, but it certainly is a pretty neat community to serve in and to be in. We really have a representation of many people who have been serving in the church for a number of years. It's not just, you know, come and be a professor, but typically most people who are professors here, especially in church work, have served for a number of years in the parish before they entered into working in higher education. And so that affords itself well. We have a long history of preparing church workers here, especially teachers and pre-seminary students, as we were Concordia Teachers College once upon a time. But what's flown out of that is really a passion and, you know, a formation process to prepare church workers. And so with that long history comes also, you know, the needs to provide for them. And as a result, we work together incredibly well. We were just visiting about this the other day with the church work program directors, that we really complement each other well. When folks are hired here, they're hired in a process that really is about working together, supporting one another, lifting one another up in the ministry, which models, I think, health and wellness for the parish. And so if there's something unique, I would say we play together pretty well here. As far as, you know, overall, program-wise, each program in and of itself really takes upon itself to look to the needs of the church workers in their respective programs. And so each one's a little bit unique, but we have a lot of crossover and shared courses and interactions in a smaller community where we get to know each other. So I would say that's probably the gift that we have.
Tell us about some of those classes that cross over. Do you get to be part of some of those classes where you get to interact with students across various church work programs?
Yeah, a little bit. So it really varies from program to program, but an example would be all of our church work preparation programs. They share in the common classes that all of our students take, Old Testament, New Testament, Faith and Life. And so there's an interaction with the body of believers. And then they take some unique classes of doctrine classes, confessions classes, ministry-related classes. And so many of them are in those classes with each other and, you know, faced with, you know, personal challenges of their own health, their own wellness, how they can support and structure programming and those kinds of things for health and wellness in the classroom, in the parish, and with the people they serve as well. And so that coursework kind of serves multiple purposes, one from an academic endeavor, but also from a personal formational effort. And that would be what I would say is holistic, which is kind of cool. We talk about everything in those classes, from taking care of yourself, eating healthy, making sure you have good relationships, you have good support structures around you, all of those types of issues, to things like your faith formation and spirituality, and making sure that we have accountability and all those things. And so each program kind of shapes itself for that particular vocation.
It's amazing. Those little things of like eating well and sleeping well and keeping relationships, they sound so basic. And yet those are like the foundational building blocks of wellness across the board. So glad that that's something that's being taught as well to church workers. Tell us more about formation at Nebraska. What are some of the other ways that church workers are formed into their future vocations?
Yeah, I think the biggest way is we just have an incredible community here that really helps challenge one another, hold each other accountable. I think that's probably one of the most exciting ways that formation happens. It's somewhat organic as opposed to being forced. And so that is a natural way that happens. But like I said, in each specific preparation program, we have process of entrance interviews for those programs. We have personal collaborative interviews where we meet with those students. They share gifts, they share the experiences they've had, some of their challenges and those things. And then we develop a plan with them, kind of working goals that they have as they move through the programs. And so those afford the students to really do a lot of good self-reflection and to start to put themselves in a position where they're really thinking through, what's it going to be like when I'm out there? What do I need to pay attention to? How am I going to be taking care of myself? More importantly, how am I going to network and connect with those people around me that are going to support me? And like I said, the classes are unique because they get a look around the table and realize that they're going to be there with those folk. And those are the networks, right? And so we're not just in our own little silos, you know, DCEs or just DCEs or you know, pastors are just pastors. But we really interact with one another, and we really seek out that support with one another. And that's a good modeling that needs to take place. So that's what I would say, you know, formation-wise, we that's kind of our approach. Some things are a little more formal and some things are a little less formal.
We're talking about forming healthy church workers with Dr. Thaddeus Warren, who's chair of the Department of Human and Social Sciences and the DCE program director at Concordia University, Nebraska. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason. To use your God-given gifts to help others. To live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world. To live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking with Dr. Thaddeus Warren. He is the chair of Department of Human and Social Sciences and DCE program director at Concordia University, Nebraska. We're learning about formation of healthy church workers at Concordia University, Nebraska. You shared that the sense of community, Dr. Warren, is an important part of church worker formation at Concordia University, Nebraska. And I'm sure that happens on campus and when they're together in class. What about opportunities off campus? What does that look like for church work students at Concordia, Nebraska?
Yeah, great. All of our programs have a significant portion of practicum experience or field work that they participate in. And so whether they're directors of parish music or DCEs or teachers, they are all getting experience from a practical nature in serving in parishes. Some of those are a little more formal in class type settings, and others are more in kind of extracurricular. And so they get plenty of opportunity to be exposed to lots of different churches in the area. And the churches are very welcoming to them. I know for, like I said, the DCE program, they have, we have a, we call it practicum, but what it is a 2-semester long field experience where they work directly in the parish. And so that's pretty common. With student teaching, they're working directly in the classroom and or parish and working with that through their certain student teaching. And prior to that, they have quite a few hours of field work where they're working directly in schools. The same would be with parish musicians. They have, actually, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure what their specific roles are, but I do know that they have opportunities continually to be out in the parish, and they have supervision and monitoring that as well.
So. You've mentioned relationships and networking and how important that is for students on campus and in their future vocations. What are some of the ways that students learn these things? How do you, as professors, teach those relationship skills to college students who are going to be using that later in their vocations?
Well, some of it's how we structured courses. So some of the courses are designed to actually force that interaction to take place. But so if we, truth be told, we do have a method to our madness.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as the kind of other experiences that are there, in a typical class, it's not uncommon to have them doing interviews with people who are out in the parish, to have them, you know, do shadowing and mentoring with folks who are in the parish. And we'll force that hand a little bit with questions like, well, tell us, you know, we want you to interview them and we want them, you know, to be honest about what it's like to be out in the parish and what it is to be in life outside of the little bubble of college. And so we do that and then we process that in class. And so there's quite a bit of that happening as well across the formational process.
I remember my own education and formation as a DCE at Concordia University, River Force Concordia, Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I remember home visits being an important part of our formation as a DCE it was an assignment that we had to do, I think, 2 home visits in one of our classes. And I mean, to talk about building relationships, you have to, you're required to sit down and ask questions, like interviews. You sit down and ask questions intentionally with people you serve. And that's a valuable way. So it sounds like the interviews that you have them doing provide some opportunities like that as well.
Yeah. Home visits, you know, we have classes like Care Action Ministry and those kind of things where we're actually going and doing hospital visits and visitations and evangelism visits and you know, lots of different experiences where they're getting hands-on experience. I think probably one of the neatest opportunities that we have is in that formation process is to walk with them as they really do a lot of self-assessment as well. And so that's embedded as well. So we'll have them put together some learning goals that they have where they will say, you know, I need more experience working with adults. And so we'll sit down with them and structure opportunities for them to, you know, go and visit folks in the nursing home or doing those types of visits, setting in with teachers as they do home visits or they're doing parent teacher conferences, those kinds of things. So they're really seeing that partnership that happens in the actual hands-off ministry.
And certainly that formation is valuable. At that time, I know as a DCE, many things that I learned as a student, I implemented, you know, in my first year out as an intern, and then maybe my first year after internship and my first call, trying to practice those things. How do we make these healthy habits? How do we make these things that are so important for our wellness a part of our daily lives that church workers are being formed to continue to be well and continue to take care of themselves and those they're serving?
Yeah, I think that's the big question of the summit that we were at a week back in trying to say, what's this look like as we move them beyond the college setting and they're actually out in the parish for those first few years? And how can we track that and really try to have an influence of them being effective and so they don't burn out and so they don't, you know it cognitively, but don't practice it, you know, with their lives. And so that is a big question that we have. And I think it's one that our Synod is trying to address and trying to help find solutions and encouragements in ways that we can really look holistically at all of our church workers, not just the young church workers that are going out. And so, you know, one of the greatest ways we found are programs that are really designed around mentoring. And so we encourage our students to find mentors in the field. Oftentimes we'll help them find those mentors. We do that through internships or those first placements when we're talking with them, really helping them identify folks that both have a passion to walk with them, but also, you know, have kind of been there, done that, and had some experiences. So that they can see what health might look like from a good perspective. And I think that's, you know, a challenge that as churches, we look at that and, you know, a lot of times we make the assumption that people are just fine and we don't find ways to support them to connect with those people that are in like ministries and that are, you know, walking the walk and helping them walk the walk together. And so just like we encourage people in our parish that, you know, the church is a hospital for sinners, not a country club for saints. Sometimes we get caught in that and say, well, we need to be in that country club ourselves as church workers and forget that, hey, we're sinners too. And we need the mutual consolation of the brethren and we need accountability and we need people in our lives to encourage and to build us up, help us know, you know, that we're okay and that we have a Lord and Savior that is at the center of all of that and who we have the opportunity to both have pointed us to them or to him, as well as us be able to point to him as well for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of this is all about building a healthy culture of raising up healthy church workers and just creating a culture that expects wellness for our church workers. What does it mean to you that LCMS leaders are that this is important to them, that other leaders in the LCMS care about wellness of church workers like you and the students you serve?
Yeah. Well, without getting into any of the statistics about turnover rates and shortages and struggles that church workers deal with, we know that, like I was just saying, we're all human, right? And so when you spend time with folks who give, you know, their lives day in and day out for others, and they're not being fed, it's a tough reality to see. And so being able to be intentional about that and be part of an effort synodically that says, hey, this really is an important thing for our church workers that we're paying attention to is exciting for me. It's something that, you know, as I think about my career and all the opportunities I've had, you know, the best opportunities have been those where somebody has sat with me and walked with me through my challenges. And sometimes we're afraid of that and feel like we live in a glass house as church worker, when in all reality, we're human and we need to sit and walk and talk and cry and laugh with each other. And so that we too can be healthy as we serve others. Sometimes when we're hurting, it's easy to not realize that we're hurting others too. And so hurt people hurt people. And so it's really important to recognize, let's be healthy. And as we're healthy, then we support one another. And overall, it raises the tide, you know, and as such, it raises all ships, you know, and we all can support one another that way.
I certainly see that honesty as a very valuable part of who we are as Christians, and especially as church workers. I remember in my formation as a DCE, one of the things that the program directors did for us was give us an opportunity to go out and visit. As a class, we did field trips to local DCEs and even others in other denominations. We got to visit with a DRE in another denomination, Director of Religious Education, and learn about their work. And I remember the honesty from all of those professionals in the field about how they were using their time or misusing their time, you know, working really, really long days. And they were honest about it and honest about how they saw that impacting their health and well-being. And that really impacted me. That really shaped me, I think, as a future church worker from there, trying to establish a healthy structure for my approach to how I cared for others, making sure that I was getting time to sleep, you know, those important things, like
we think sometimes church workers only work on Sundays, right? But we know, you know, those retreats, those late night hours, walking with people, counseling, care in the, especially the care and provision that, you know, you're working with parishioners and folks, you know, parents, when we're sitting down with them, all that takes time. And sometimes it's easy to neglect that we have our own kids at home and our own spouses and those people that we need to tend to as well. And it's easy to get caught in that. Yeah.
It's, I think for many church workers and especially the students you're serving, many of them are probably single at this point in life and may feel guilty about, well, I don't have a family that I need to go home and take care of. It's just me. Or I don't have children I need to take care of. It's just me. And it's very easy to fall into those habits of working, quote, working or always serving. And so when you're doing the Lord's work, you feel guilty if you're especially taking time off and you're single, you don't have other vocations at home that you need to attend to. But we all do. We have multiple vocations. And so I think seeing those examples and that honesty was really helpful to me so that I could be healthy and well to serve those that and care for those I was given to serve.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always reminded of, you know, even Jesus took a day and said, let's rest. You know, it's hard to place ourselves in recognizing what it takes to actually be healthy. And certainly rest perspective, being in relationship with those that you love and love you, those are grounding forces for health. So
what are some of your parting wisdom or advice to church work students about being well and taking that time to be well and setting boundaries now so that when you get into a parish, it's much easier to be able to do that?
Yeah, no pressure here. I think, you know, a lot of times we say, hey, go get them, right? You know, and you know, you've got lots of energy and all those kinds of things to do the ministry. And we talk about all the cool things you can do. And we don't talk about how it doesn't have to happen all tomorrow or today, that really it's a process. It's a journey. And I once had an illustration given to me. It's like parenting. It's the concept of discipleship. That root word is discipline. And that idea is that it takes a formational process. You don't go out and run a marathon because you think you want to go run a marathon. You actually have to train for it. And that training is discipline, and it's shaping, and it's molding, and it's what Doc does with us. And how he modeled that with his disciples were to mold and to shape them. And so my encouragement would be that we keep that perspective, that we need to be shaped and molded, and we are molding and shaping those around us, and we need the body of believers. You know, Paul was pretty adamant about the body of Christ and gave us a lot of lessons through that. And I think, you know, listening and being open to that shaping and formation is really, really important. And so that would be the encouragement.
Our guest today, Dr. Thaddeus Warren, Chair of the Department of Human and Social Sciences, DCE Program Director, all at Concordia University, Nebraska. Dr. Warren, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Yeah, thank you.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.